21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, let's start reading. It says, the hardest part of living this Christian life is not understanding theology. Now, theology is just what? A study of God, people studying of God. Neither is it the practice of necessary Christian disciplines, such as prayer, church attendance, giving of funds, or Bible study. While each of these has its own separate and distinct challenges, the real challenge of Christianity is to consistently display a Christ-like life. Righteous living, honesty, and kindness to others are all necessities that require the constant evaluation and control of one's person. Not only do we need to understand what should be on display in our lives, but we must also receive continually the power of God that enables us to live an exemplary Christian life. This power does not come from our own will, our determination, or even our zealousness. The power to do, the strength to act properly, and the ability to express unfinished love comes only by the grace of God. Our need is the knowledge of how to receive God's grace consistently. With our faith anchored securely in Christ and his finished work at Calvary, the Holy Spirit is free to supply the grace and power we require to exhibit Christ's likeness to the world in which we exist. Only through properly placed faith and the constant reception of God's grace can our light truly shine. People, it's who we place it in that we can be kind, loving, and helpful to other people. Not in what we do. Now, there's nothing wrong in what we do, just so our faith is not in what we do. It's in him and him alone. Go back today and read it again. Ask God to show you. And if you don't understand a word, look it up. What you might want to do, this is what I do. When I read the scripture, I'll go to my Bible and I'll read it and I'll read the comment. Oh, okay. Okay, because I saw some things just in this scripture and I thought, oh, Lord, thank you. You know, we're here to study the word of God. Theology, study the word of God. Study of God. Study him and get him in your heart and in your life. Without further ado, Ms. Diana, would you come? I want to introduce to you Ms. Diana Romero. Been knowing her for a few years now. So, Amen. But I tell you, a blessing to our family, to me as an individual, as a pastor, and you know, I appreciate. I know Jelaine and I, we appreciate her, and we thank her for looking to the Lord and getting the message that we need to hear today. So, without further ado.
Thank you. I want to thank everybody for coming out this morning. I know it's chilly, but it's a beautiful, it's pretty weather. And I want to go to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for the message that you've laid on my heart for your people. And Father God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you touch my mouth this morning, that you fill my mouth with your words, and that, Father God, your anointing be upon me, that I can say what you would have me to say the way you want me to, in Jesus' name. And am I making all that noise? Like, I'm sorry, what am I doing? Straight up? Just like this? Okay, I'm sorry, because I was making noise. Hopefully the message won't be noise, but so a little bit, I'm going to go backward a little bit for just a minute. Whenever I preached in September, I preached on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, 12, I'm sorry. And then when Andrew came in November, he preached on Ephesians 10 through 18. And so this is where I'm starting because I wanted to teach the ladies about the full armor of God, but I hadn't started. I just had a title, and my title was, Are You Dressed for Spiritual Success? Was going to be the title of my Bible study. And so after Andrew preached, which if you haven't heard his message, you really need to go back, because I told him, I'm going to use what he did because it was so really good. But anyway, when he got to, when he said this, he said the final part of the full armor of God was found in Ephesians chapter 6, 18, and it was praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It's the words in the Spirit that got my attention. So I'm going to read that again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So I changed my message title. Instead of Are You Dressed for Spiritual Success, I changed it to Are You Fully Dressed for Spiritual Success. And you'll understand as we go. In order to pray in the Spirit, there's some things that we'll need to know. Now, during the course of the message, some scriptures I'm going to read, but some scriptures I'm going to give to y'all to read later at home, okay? Because there's a place I need to get. So first, we must first and foremost be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You cannot pray in the Spirit without the Holy Spirit. Not to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, that's number two, is not to be fully dressed for spiritual success. For spiritual success, we must be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It is, number three, it is God's will that every believer of the Lord Jesus Christ receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are free gifts. Those are free gifts from the Lord. Just as we have received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, we must also receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. With the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we receive a prayer language referred to as tongues. And when we pray in our prayer language or in tongues, we ourselves do not know what we are praying. The Holy Spirit is praying the perfect will of the Father. And this is the most powerful prayer. We want to know everything, okay? We want to know everything, but not everything needs to be known. When we praying in tongues, we are praying, the Holy Spirit is praying through us the perfect will of God. And although praying in tongues is an important part of praying in the Spirit, praying Spirit-led prayers is also an important part of praying in the Spirit. Because you see, and this, you know, I learned something with that, because I always thought praying in the Spirit was praying in tongues. I did not realize that as we're Spirit-led, we're praying Spirit-led prayers. We are praying in the Spirit. That is something I learned as I studied this. I saw that for the first time, which was kind of freeing for me, because I don't pray in tongues as much as I pray. You know what I'm saying? So, and the key there is to ask the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes whenever somebody has a need, I ponder on it, and then the Lord starts showing me, and then that's Spirit-led, and guess what? Those prayers are going to be answered. Spirit-led prayers will be answered because it's the Holy Spirit who is prompting the way to pray. Now, when somebody calls me and they want me to pray a certain way, I don't go that way unless the Lord shows me, because that's praying. That could be praying our will. I ask the Holy Spirit to be with us and lead us and guide us, and then I pray. Because, you know, sometimes you get a phone call and somebody's pretty frantic. because of something, and this is what they want to pray. This is what they want out of it. Just like somebody will tell me, can you pray? They're going to the doctor. Can you pray for a good report? And I don't pray for a good report. I'll be honest with you. I pray for God's report. Why? Because if there's something God wants us to know and we're just asking for a good report, we're not asking the will of God. What if somebody has something that needs attention that God needs to, he's going to reveal it through that doctor's appointment, and we're asking for a good report? So I don't pray that way. I ask for God's report, because his word says, whose report are you going to believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord. And so in praying like that, then we can, you know, once I set a prayer, because I'll have like a prayer covering over a situation, and that's the prayer covering for that situation. I remind the Lord, but this is what we're in agreement with, and it's going to come to pass. Amen. Now let's go, because I want to share some things to forever put something to rest that maybe some people question about. And so let's go to John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. I'm going to read those scriptures. What this is talking about, that Jesus is with his disciples for the Last Supper, you can say, the Passover. And this is what he's telling them before he goes to the cross. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be with you. And right there, he's telling his disciples, you have been with him. Jesus was with his disciples, but he would be leaving earth. And the next verse says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, and the commentary says, through the person of the Holy Spirit. So it was necessary for Jesus to go to the cross for many reasons for us. And one of them is that once he made his sacrifice and it was finished, then the Holy Spirit could come. Amen. So we see in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, that's where we're going to go next, that promise came forth. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And that says a lot right there. Listen, I think the reason that our church feels the presence of the Lord so much is because we are coming with one mind and one accord. We love one another. We want to see each other grow. We're coming to hear from the Lord. We're coming to worship him. We're not coming to bring, we're not in competition with anybody. We're not trying to see who can be the prettiest, who can do the best. We are here because we genuinely love and care for each other. And we genuinely want to know the Lord more. Amen? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. The commentary to that right there says the initial physical evidence that one has been baptized with the Spirit. So you see, that's how we can know. The speaking in tongues will always follow being baptized with the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, they felt it coming up and they started speaking it. And the commentary says, meaning that they did not initiate this themselves, but that it was initiated by the Spirit. And that brings me back to what I just said. If we wait upon the Lord, the Holy Spirit is going to begin to speak. I don't like to start praying until I feel that he's there with us to pray, because I don't want to pray my will. My will is not going to get anything done. God's will is going to get it done. Now let's go to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to give you the scriptures, but we're not reading all those scriptures. We're going to be covering verse 17. But in chapter 9, verses 1 through 18, is where we see the account of Saul of Tarsus, who had been persecuting Christians, being gloriously transformed while on the road of Damascus, and how the Lord instructed Ananias to go to him. So the whole story is in that chapter, that the verses I just gave you. But we're going to pick up in verse 17. Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, he laid hands on Saul, brother Saul. The commentary says he addressed Paul in this manner because Paul was already saved and had been so for the last 3 days and nights. So what did we say? Salvation comes first. Baptism of the Holy Spirit comes after that. The Lord, even Jesus, who appeared unto you in the way as you came, has sent me, that you might receive your sight, because he was blinded by the light, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. The commentary says, this proclaims the fact that one is not baptized with the Holy Spirit at conversion, as many teach. In fact, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is a separate work of grace which takes place after conversion. And I know most of us have gone through the foundations class and we've learned about this, but I don't know if we've actually connected it. So I just want us to forever from now on, not only us, but we have people watching that we don't know, settled, salvation comes first, then baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to Acts chapter 19. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 because this is another example of that. It starts off, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, now you see, Paul's preaching now, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? So what? He knows that they are Christians, right? But he's asking them, have you been... do you have the Holy Spirit? We know these men were already saved. This is the commentary, I'm sorry. Because every time the word disciples is used in the book of Acts, it refers to individuals who have accepted Christ. Paul could tell that these individuals, although saved, had not yet been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So you see, this is another example, salvation and then baptism. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, one of the signs that followed them who believe, it says, one of those signs, and it gives us all the signs, they shall speak with new tongues. Why do I go through all that? Number one, I want everybody to know, and forward, praying in tongues is scriptural. It is truth. It's God's absolute truth. Now, why do we need to know that? Because praying in tongues does seem to make some people very uncomfortable and even fearful. That's why we need everybody. I shouldn't say everybody. Most people want to know that they're walking in truth. Nobody wants to be deceived. Everyone wants to know they're on the right path. So, and sometimes to make sure we're on the right path, We don't receive anything that we have a question about. Satan has convinced people, even God's people in some cases, that praying in tongues is not of God, that it's nonsense, that it's just gibberish, that it's just babbling, that it's evil, even. Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, I want to give you some scriptures. We're not going to read these, but I want, the Bible warns against calling the things of God Satan. There's a strong warning about that. So I'm going to give you the references so you can read it at home. One is Matthew chapter 12, verses 24 through 32. One is Mark chapter 3, verses 28 through 30. And the other one is Luke chapter 12, verse 10. It would be to our advantage, and whoever is listening, if you question whether something is of God, not to speak about it with your tongue unless the Lord shows you it's not of God. Because that's where we get into trouble, okay? There are things that are not of God, don't get me wrong. But we want to be careful. We don't want to just haphazardly be talking about things, okay? Now we're going to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. I'm going to be reading there too with the commentary, but I'm going to let y'all know. It says, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps our infirmities. The help given to us by the Holy Spirit, this is the commentary, is made possible in its entirety by and through what Jesus did at the cross. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, and we don't. When somebody, even ourselves, something happens, we don't at first know how to pray, because we panic sometimes sets in before we can, you know, we have to get peace first before we can know how to pray. And the Holy Spirit gives us that peace. The commentary says, signals the significance of prayer, but also that without the Holy Spirit, all is to no avail. It's just like coming to church. If we leave out the Holy Spirit, we just as soon had stayed home, because nothing's going to be accomplished in our lives. Amen. We're here to let the Holy Spirit work in us. If we have to be convicted, to be convicted. If we have to be encouraged, to be encouraged. Whatever the need is, the Lord uses the Holy Spirit to do it. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. The commentary says he petitions or intercedes on our behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered. The commentary says not groanings on the part of the Holy Spirit, but rather on our part, which pertains to that which comes from the heart and cannot be properly put into words. Sometimes we are so, like sometimes I've been up here and others have been up here, and we're not even praying. We're groaning and we're crying, and the Holy Spirit is moving. And he who searches the hearts, God the Father, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. The commentary says what the Spirit wants done and not what we want done. And that's the key right there. We have to get us out of the way. Because he, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And I'm sure all of us want to walk in the perfect will of God. I used to hear people talk about a permissive will. I don't want to be in a permissive will of God. You're too close to being out of his will. Let's walk in the perfect will of God as best as we can. The commentary says the overriding goal of the Spirit is to carry out the will of God. Oh, I might have said that. I'm sorry. In our lives, not our personal wills. I'm not sure. But anyway, I think we got that. So where are we going to go next? Oh, I think I'm doing pretty good. Well, with my time, I'm talking about. Because I looked at the clock. Y'all see, y'all not amening me, so I had to amen myself. No. No, I'm picking. I'm watching the clock because I'm looking to see what I can include and what I maybe need to leave out. You know, so I'm doing good on what I have in mind. Thank you. That's good. I might start over again. No. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, let's go to Zechariah chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. I mean 6. Lord, y'all got me shook up. Okay. Whew. Then the angel who talked with me answered and said unto me, "Know you not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." The commentary in part says, "Not by human might nor by human power, but by my spirit," presents God's method of accomplishing his work. If it is claimed to be for the Lord, whatever is being done must be done by the moving, operation, power, and person of the Holy Spirit through believers. Get that right there. The Holy Spirit works through believers. Jesus is not walking the streets anymore. He uses us. Otherwise, it will not be recognized by God. In fact, it will be constituted as a work of the flesh. And thereby what? Useless. We don't have the power and the might in and of ourselves to do the things of God. We need to let the Holy Spirit have his way through us, and then we're going to see things happen. Now, I'm concluding. So, in conclusion, we can have on the armor of God. We can even be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But in order to be spiritually successful, we must also, in all caps, bold letters, cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We all have a free will. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not go against our free will if we choose to resist his leadership. Now, I'm not talking about, because it happens to all of us. Sometimes I'll have a thought, and the Holy Spirit is so, the voice is so still and small, you can miss it. So I'll have a thought, and I'll think that's my thought. You know, I just thought it. And then something happens, and I realize that was the Holy Spirit trying to tell me something, and I apologize and I ask him to forgive me because I missed it. We're not talking about that kind of thing. That's not resisting the Holy Spirit. We miss it sometimes, but we get back on track. But if he tells us, leads us to do something, and we tell him no, we are resisting. Or we don't tell him no, we just don't do it. That's resisting the Holy Spirit. Eventually, he will no longer speak to us. He will no longer attempt to lead us. He will allow us to go our own way. And that's a scary thing. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we end up with what 2 Timothy 3:5 warns about. And I'm going to suggest that you read 2 Timothy 3:1 through 9. We end up having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Churches are full of that. We can go to church. If there's no Holy Spirit power, there's no point in being there. And if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, you'll get a clear picture of what that looks like. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not going to, he's not going to woo us always. He's going to move on. And I don't want to be there. And then after that, we find ourselves with what Proverbs 14:12 talks about. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You see, without the Holy Spirit, our minds can think of a way and we think it's the right way. But without the Holy Spirit to check us, we just going. And there's no life in that. There's not going to be any good fruit of that. So what I'd like to do today is I want to have a time of repentance, and that's going to be personal. That prayer of repentance, personal, we're just going to let everybody do it themselves where they're at. If you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, let me put it that way, and you know that you have resisted him, that you have rebelled against him, then we're going to have a time where we ask the Lord to forgive us for that. Amen? So I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to give y'all a couple of minutes to do that. And I ask those watching online, at home or wherever, to take a moment to do that, because we want to get right with the Lord. We want to realign. We want to recalibrate ourselves. Because look, he's here and we've gone over there. No, we want to come back. We want to come back and we want to start moving forward. Like Andrew said, that's another thing he said in his message time and time again. We need to move forward. We need to move forward. Well, we're not moving forward if the Holy Spirit's not leading us. We don't know where we're moving, actually. So let's take a few minutes and then we'll talk about our next step. We start again and anew. And we do our best to hear and to obey. Amen. The next prayer is for salvation. I know maybe everyone here is already saved, but like we always do, we want to give an opportunity. So we're going to pray for the prayer. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation for whoever might need to be saved. Amen. So let's pray that together. And if you're watching online, I encourage you to pray with us. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. I give you my life. I ask you to be my Lord and be my Savior. Amen. So if you've never prayed that prayer, Jesus just came in. Amen. Now, the next prayer we're going to have, and I want to do it kind of a double way because I want the people at home. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is transferred with the laying of hands, but it does not have to be. Because why? There's no distance in the Lord. All it requires is just like you just prayed the prayer of salvation, you lift up your hands and you ask to be baptized. So as I pray, I'm praying for whoever's here and whoever's listening on social media. And then after that, then we can let them go. And if anybody wants to be laid hands on for that, then we'll have that opportunity. Amen. So if you have Jesus in your heart and you want to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, I just ask you to open your arms right now to receive that baptism. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see your people throughout, whether it's in person or it's the four corners of the earth. Father God, I ask in the name of Jesus that the baptism of the Holy Spirit would fall upon all those who are yielding themselves to you, who are cooperating with you, who want and desire to be filled with your Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Woo! Father, we're going to be careful to give you all the glory for it, all the honor for it, and all the praise for it, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Woo! Glory. Okay, so, Joe, if you would like to, I'm just going to ask, we're going to have an altar call so we can turn off the social media, if you don't mind, please.